Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff coming up. The NBA playoffs, a couple of game fives last night. And we're going to have four game sixes, no matter what, as the Grizz blew away the Warriors. Bucks Celts has been the best series overall, continues to be that. What a performance by Giannis last night, as the Bucks have a chance to close that thing out back in Milwaukee in Game 6. Today is kind of like Christmas Day for NFL fans. It's the schedule release. Who's going to play who? International games. You know, you know who the opponents are for each and every team in the NFL right now. You just don't know when those games are going to be. The international games have been scheduled. Who's going to play the Rams on opening night? They'll get that game on Thursday night. Host, who will that be? And then I've got some strength of schedule numbers according to last year's record. So who's going to have the toughest schedule according to last year? Who's going to have the easiest schedule? So we'll talk over that. Big day for the Brown and White as the Big Elk baseball team on the road as we speak, headed to Shawnee, first round of the 4A state baseball tournament, 1:30 against Verdigris. Got some numbers for both sides on that. Look forward to how that game might be played later on. BigElkTV.com. If you can't make it up to Shawnee, Jared and Hunter will be there. 1:30 is the scheduled start time for the Elks against Verdigris this afternoon in Shawnee. First time the Elk City Elks have been in the state tournament since 2004. Verdigris, on the other hand, a little different story. They're used to being there year after year after year. But we'll break down that game, talk all about that. Tennis tomorrow and Saturday also. Big Elk tennis, chance to maybe set a school record with the best performance in the state tournament in school history. I think third place is the best a team has ever done. This team is poised to top that, if you look at the way they played all year. So we'll talk a bunch about high school sports still this week, kind of wrapping everything up, put a nice little neat bow on the high school sports season. Nothing would be better than a couple of state championships coming back to Elk City in tennis and baseball. That's what we got on our minds. Feel free to chime in. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to KADSAM.com. The other is download the Paragon app. The app has all things Paragon. Three radio stations with KECO, Cool 94, and KADS. You've got the Penny News incorporated in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website on Wednesday at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can pick up a fresh, free copy of the Penny News at your local newsstands all the way from Oklahoma City out to Amarillo, Texas. Obviously, Big Elk TV, told you about that. We'll keep on air on that all day long. Paragon TV also in there for the small school stuff, available during basketball season, especially through Paragon TV. And then we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can check us out on KADSAM.com, or you can find us on iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, you might as well hit the subscribe button, and that way when a new podcast drops, you will be informed each and every day. Good morning, Jared.
How are you?
Trying to keep my teeth from chattering. It's cold in this room today.
Tell you what, I'd run back downstairs and get my little light jacket here. Yeah, it's that, you know, it's hot outside when it's cold inside. Right?
That's exactly right. Yep. How was your evening last night?
I was good. Had a little practice, and it turned into an hour and a half practice, turned into a two-hour practice, and just enjoyed the hot, breezy weather. How about you?
I mowed the yard.
After
did
you?
After the drink that everything got on Tuesday night,
yeah,
it was like it just sprung to life.
And
got home, I was like, wait a minute, did this grow like 3 inches throughout the day? And then also, Wyatt had some of his buddies over. They've got a kind of a last ditch school project that they had to do making a volcano.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun.
So they were creating the volcano. Before I got there, I think they tried to make sure it was going to erupt with the stuff that they're supposed to have.
Which is?
Diet Coke.
Oh, they used the Diet Coke and Mentos. Yeah, that'll erupt. They didn't do, what is it, bacon powder and vinegar?
My wife had baking powder out for some reason, and I don't know why. But that might have been, they may have been seeing the fierceness. I would have thought maybe put some dry ice in something, just to at least get it smoking out of there.
The effect, yeah.
Maybe that, you know, add those two things together. But they painted it. It's cool. It's pretty cool. Looks like it already has erupted, really.
That's awesome. Those are fun.
But those boys got that ready to go.
So this is a school project? Yes. I mean, how much school? Isn't school about done?
Next week. See, here's what happened.
Still have school projects?
Here's what happened. This was supposed to be the last week, but they renovated and totally created the elementary school cafeteria at Sayre.
Yeah.
And it is awesome, by the way. But
I've heard
it was like a week late, getting everything cleaned up and getting everything inspected and made sure it was ready to go. So they have to go an extra week.
I see.
Friday was supposed to be the last day. It'll be next Friday.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
But yeah, that gave them a chance to have to do have to get this done. And also, I think there may be a book project still due too. I mean, listen, you go right up to the end here. Now I say that they're on a field trip today.
Where are they going?
They're all somewhere out in Amarillo.
Oh, okay. My kid's on a field trip.
Wild
too.
World or something. Oh. Some kind of amusement park type thing.
Oh, it's a park. It's like a, okay. My kid's going to a museum.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What is it? Sam Noble in Norman?
Yes. Yes. I've walked by that many times.
Yeah, that's where they're going. My oldest is.
So we were trying to explain last night out here at where he's going. I don't know if it's just if the communication is lacking or if he's not understanding. One of the two things happened. So it was hard to figure out. We were trying to explain to him what was going to be happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he would look on the website, you know, he's like, well, the school's going to buy the tickets. And I'm like, well, there's not really tickets. You know, it looks like you've got a pass and different levels of pass, you know, for different amounts of money and then what you can do. Well, also out here, it is cashless.
No.
So they're going to get a card that they can load money onto. But as far as actually paying for things, not going to happen. You have to have a card to do this, right? So
I miss the good old days of giving a kid a 20 and saying, here you go.
Well, and here's another thing. That card is that park specific. It's not like having a Visa card where you can use it there and then take it with you. So we were trying to communicate that whatever you put on this card has to be used there and there only. And if you don't, your money is gone. You can't have it back. It just stays. So I was going through so we gave him the amount of money we gave him. And I was like, okay, what is the number one thing you cannot do? And he said, spend all the money. And I said, kind of. The number one thing you can't do is load all the money on the card. That's the number one thing you cannot do when you get there. Just go, here's my money, load it on the card. Because then you're out of money.
Oh,
and you have to,
you can't
get it back off the card. You're done.
If
you don't spend all that money, then you're just giving it, you might as well burn it up.
Yep.
And so then once he was like, okay. And then, so he was going to have money left over. And then that's when I started thinking about, okay, what's number two? He was like, don't put it all on the card. And I was like, that's good thinking, but no. Number two is, you don't have to spend all the money.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then I said, what do you think, you need to have money coming back in case, you know, you get thirsty on the school bus when it's 100 outside.
Yeah.
So what is a minimum amount of money you think you ought to have left over? That's where things veered sideways. That's where the fork in the road came. He thought he needed to have a little less money than I thought he might need to have. So we'll see how that works. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting with the card and the fact that you can't get the money back.
Again, this excited. Would be a lot simpler if you just
could give him $20.
Give $20.
And pay him.
Here you go.
Yes.
Be sure you hold on a couple bucks for the ride home. You might need to stop and get a drink.
Yeah, matter of fact, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $20 in tens. And you can have left pocket 10 for the place, right pocket 10 for home. Do not intermingle those tens.
This brings the thought of something I saw. Did you see the guy, speaking of money and giving your kids money, did you see the guy who whose kid lost a tooth? And the tooth fairy came, and they got this on surveillance camera in the house. And you hear the kid in the background go, "Dad, the tooth fairy brought me $110." And you see the dad on his easy chair go, "What? No, he didn't. He brought you two tens." "No, it's $110.
Oh, no.
Dad gets up, goes to the kitchen, gets his wallet, and it throws it down and goes, "I think the tooth fairy was drinking last night."
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. We were rolling. My wife showed me that. She and I remember one time the tooth fairy forgot to come for Katie.
Oh, yeah.
And she woke up crying.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh. So the tooth fairy, I was like, well, hold on, let me look. And I went and looked. Turns out the tooth fairy put the money where she couldn't find it.
Hit it.
Tooth fairy might have been drinking that night, too. But that was so funny. Yeah, why can't we just give kids cash? It's cashless stuff. Give me a break.
I guess that.
Pretty soon the tooth fairy is going to be cashless.
Yeah. Tooth fairy is going to be given a $10 credit card. $10 my foot. I can't believe. Listen, no offense. Tooth Fairy has not gotten more rich as we've gotten older, at least in my house. Tooth Fairy's still giving out quarters, my friend.
Hey, to all you new parents out there, I implore you.
Aim low.
Start low, yeah.
Yes.
Because if you think it's special to put a $5 bill under the pillow the first time the kid loses a tooth, or I'm sorry, the Tooth Fairy does, then you got to maintain that. You can't go any lower than that price. You got to make sure you have that on you ready to go. So that was our mistake. Yeah. I remember getting 50 cents and that was it. That was it.
Yeah.
Like and I was happy about it.
Like I said, Tooth Fairy ain't got no richer around my house. He's still back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And here's another thing while we're talking about this. Why and whoever is coming up with more things like this needs to stop, okay?
More things like?
Like Elf on the Shelf. Stop it. Please stop. Because
you're stressing Aaron out.
It gets hard for the elf to remember to move every time.
In a different spot for, 30 days? 25 days?
25 different spots.
It gets
Tim runs out of places to be around our joint.
And my kids are getting wise to that. They're like, it'd be funny if the elf was over here. They point to the highest spot of the house or some elaborate. I'm like, oh, my God. They're getting on to they're figuring this out. Like, they're putting me to work.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be funny if the elf brought us a whole bunch of candy this time?
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Daddy, I saw this picture online. The elf was in the potty, and I'm like, what?
My buddy was said, we told our kids already. We're tired of that crap.
Oh, boy. Joys of parenthood.
Yeah, the youngest son lost a tooth and realized, man, I'm not going to get no money. Oh, that's funny. Very nice. We all need to follow Wes's lead. All right. Big Elk baseball coming tonight, or coming this afternoon. The Elks against Verdigris. First round of the Class 4A baseball tournament. First time Elk City's been there since 2004. Verdigris, on the other hand, has been a staple in the state baseball tournament. They're making their 12th straight state tournament appearance. That is the second longest streak behind only Silo's 20 going into today. Yeah, you may ask, how have they done when they've gotten there? Well, in these 12 years, they've won five times. They won every title from 11 to 14, so four in a row there. They won in 16. They won back in 2002 for six total, five in this span. They were runners-up in 17, and they were runners-up last year to Heritage Hall. Now, the one thing about that streak for Verdigris, a lot of it happened in 3A. They have not won a 4A title since getting bumped up back in 2017. They played for it in 17, and as I said, they're the defending runner-up. But Verdigris has not been the 4A state champion since being bumped up to 4A out of 3A. Man, this game, both of these teams have been dominant in the playoffs. Neither two have lost, so they're both 5-0. Verdigris, in their five games, what is that, 6, 11, 13, 53-8. They've outscored their five opponents. The Elks even better than that at 70-5. So, you know, when you look at that, the Elks have given up an average of one run a game. Verdigris just a hair over that. So this could be, you know, talking to Mac and, you know, the way they want to play, this could be a pitcher's duel, kind of a small ball type game. The Elks don't hit a whole bunch of home runs throughout the season. Kind of gap-to-gap power as far as, you know, hitting in the gap, doubles and triples, that kind of thing for both of these sides. So I'm really anxious to see how this game plays out this afternoon.
The pitching-batting matchup, pitching for Elk City with Catch and the batting for Verdigris intrigues me a whole bunch. Now, from what we have what we understand is that you can look at Verdigris in their record, and there's, you mentioned the scoring and putting a lot of runs up, but what we're told, it's not necessarily like power hitting. It's they can manufacture runs and just kind of open up the pipeline like that. So that to me is going to be key to see what happens if a Verdigris base runner gets on base, hitter gets on base, and how they try to move him around versus the power and the dominance of Mayfield. That intrigues me a lot. I can see this game either way. Whoever scores first is going to win, and it might be 1-0 when it's all said and done. I feel like it's going to be a defensive battle, pitcher versus batter. And then so that puts a lot of pressure on the Big Elk bats. Can they continue to ring it like they have, like you just mentioned, in the playoffs? That's going to be key for them. They got to strike early and often, in my opinion, maybe swing early in the count and keep the pressure on Verdigris, because the team that puts that run across first is obviously in the running to win that game because of the pitching duos. I think they're going to show up today.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how the Elks handle this, because they haven't been on the stage like Verdigris has.
Yeah,
and sometimes, you know, guys free up. I think the one thing about the Elk City offense, a lot of times when you have that guy out there on the mound on your side, it does free you up knowing, hey man, we can just swing it. We got the guy that he's not giving up much, so let's go out there, let's swing free, let's get him a couple of runs, and then and play tomorrow. You know, that type of an attitude. Or, you know, you try to do too much. Just do the things that got you there. You know, the Elks mashed the baseball for the most part last weekend, but on Friday early, it did feel like everybody was trying to kind of to hit the solo shot to give them the lead, or you know, hit a two-run home run or whatever it was. Instead of, you know, then you saw in the fifth inning when they exploded for the five runs with two outs, back to the different approach, or the same approach they'd had in the first two games, which is just hit line drives, get on base, move everybody around, and score runs that way. So I think that's a key offensively for the Elks, is just to stay in your lane. Do what you do.
Yeah, you don't need to change anything.
That's
The game plan shouldn't change as much or at all, because what they're doing is very successful. I agree with you.
I think it's going to be interesting to see how much Verdigris, I was talking to a guy last night, and he brought this point up, and I think he's exactly right, how much they want to make Cash defend his position via bunts and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To try, you know, how much can they create some fatigue with him running around fielding his spot? Mayfield has been unbelievable this season. He's thrown 40 innings, given up only 10 hits, 9 runs, 3 of them earned, struck out 87 in 40 innings, only walked 18. He's got a .525 ERA and a .079 batting average against. So if you know, there's not very many guys in this state tournament that are harder to hit than what Cash is going to be. You know, he's only a sophomore, but it feels like he's so much older than that because of the experience that he's gained in the multiple stuff in the summertime. You know, the biggest of the big baseball things out there, he's been there. So you know, it's the biggest stage that he's going to be on, have been on as a high school baseball player. I don't know if you can say it's the biggest stage that he's ever been on a mound. You know what I'm saying? It's just he's been to so many things and he's done so many things, and it's just, it's amazing to watch him because you don't realize, my gosh, this is just his second year and really first full year of pitching at the high school level.
Right. And that's, you know, going through my, I do this when I know I'm about to be on a game on a call. I go through my progression of setup and what would I talk about and, you know, bullet points and stuff like that. And that's one of them was, you know, this is, and obviously you get to a state tournament, it's the biggest game until the next for a lot of these kids. And this is, and I was thinking to myself, this is like the biggest stage for him. And I thought, well, is it? Because he's done all these other things. So that is such an advantage for him because he's like, I've been at these different scenarios, you know, everything you mentioned. I think you're going to watch him play, and we've watched him all year and thought, man, he doesn't act like a sophomore. He doesn't pitch like a sophomore, obviously. So I don't think the stage is too big for him is what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't either. I totally agree with that. On the text line, being left-handed, it is harder to feel bunts. There's no doubt about it. You lay it either way, you know, with where your body goes and all that. It's different than being able to kind of, you got to kind of turn or all the way around to be able to make those throws to first, especially. So I would, you know, looking for that early and often, I would think, just to see if he can do it, make him do it. And it makes a lot of sense because he's been so hard to hit.
Right.
You know, he's over two strikeouts an inning for 40 innings is as dominant as you could possibly hope to get. You know, he gives up a hit every four innings, or has during the regular season and into the playoffs. 40 innings pitched, only 10 hits allowed. I mean, that's phenomenal stuff. So, you know, obviously with a guy like that on the mound for Elk City, you're going to have a chance to beat anybody at any point. Doesn't matter who they are with that arm. So we'll see if the bats can ring, like you said, and Cash gives them a good one. I would assume, I would anticipate he'll give them a good outing for sure, and just see if the Elks have enough offense to push through. So that's a 1:30 Big Elk TV. You and Hunter will be there to broadcast that one back for the folks that can't make it. You know, it's an exciting. This hasn't happened in way too long, Hopefully. This just gets the start, gets the ball rolling down the mountain of this not being such a big deal in the first round, because hey, we've been there, done that. You know, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
In the years moving forward, but really cool.
What I want to see is the guys come out, be calm, cool, because you see a lot with really good teams. I saw it a year ago with Canute in the spring state tournament where they got outed in the first round because there's like, you could tell there's a little lot of excitement and they were overplaying things. Dewar got ahead of them. Canute couldn't come back. The rest was history. I think they learned from that this year and they were able to get all the way to the finals. That's what Elk City needs to understand, is you don't go out there swinging for the fence every time. You don't have to dive for a ball. Just let it fall in front of you and keep the runner at first. Stuff like that. And then once everybody calms down through maybe the first round of at-bats, you're going to get best versus best. And that's the hardest part, I think, of a state tournament. I played in a couple of them, is getting those butterflies out early and then just playing your game.
Yeah, and while you're trying to get those out, don't fall so far behind.
Yeah.
Once you kind of settle in and play your game, you're not
right.
too far behind to catch. You're
right.
not too far behind to catch up.
Yeah.
So 1:30, Big Elk TV, Big Elks and Verdigris from Shawnee, the Class 4A state baseball tournament today. Tomorrow we gotta have a bracket tomorrow for tennis. I think that, what do we say, that seating meeting is tonight. So hopefully that'll be released by the time we're on the air tomorrow.
Okay.
So we'll see what the Big Elk tennis team has in front of them. looking for the best finish in school history there this weekend as well. NFL schedule release. Isn't this like, this is fun. And it just speaks to the dominance of the NFL and the sporting landscape that, you know, there'll be multiple shows on tonight for just releasing what dates teams play. I mean, we know who everybody plays. We know where they play them, who they play.
Yeah.
We just don't know when they play.
It doesn't feel like there's a lot of drama, but people are sucked into it, and they're like, oh, and they're, every year you'll see a matchup and go, hey, look, that team's coming to Dallas on this date. Let's book some tickets. Let's go. Like, well, okay, that's okay. We knew they were coming, but just all we found out was a date.
A date. When? We'll find that out tonight. So
it's like we see that early, and we're like, well, most likely that's going to be on a Sunday.
So here's how the schedule breaks down in the NFL with 17 games now. The formula goes like this. So for six of your games, it's home and away against your three division opponents.
Right.
So that's where six of the 17 come from. Then you play the four teams from another division in your conference. And you also play four teams from another division in the other conference. And those rotate every 3 years for your own conference, every 4 years for the other one. Because obviously the reason why it's three in your own is because you're in your own division. So you don't, you know, you're already playing them every year.
Right.
So that's how you get to, what, 14 games. Then you play two intra-conference opponents based on the prior year's standings. So first team plays first place in the other two divisions that you're not playing everybody. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like for Dallas, if they're playing the NFC South this year, then the Cowboys, as division champs from a year ago, they would play the number one in the West and the number one in the North. So Green Bay and the Rams.
Right.
Okay. And then with that 17th game, you play the same way. It's in the other conference, though. And that rotates every 4 years who that is, and it's one versus one, two versus two, so on and so forth, like those others are. So that's how you get to the 17-game schedule now. For the so the AFC East will play the North, the AFC North, and the NFC North, and their 17th game will be the NFC West. So you know what that means? We get Buffalo and the Rams.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Right. Okay.
You know, that's Monday or Sunday night. Or, no, I can see it on a Thursday.
Yeah, we'll get to who we think the Rams are going to play first here coming up.
Don't we know?
I haven't seen that yet.
You know, that's what they do, too. They slowly pull the curtain back.
Oh, yeah. The international games have been announced. There's been some here and there. I don't know that first one has been officially announced.
Well, I was so busy getting ready to leave, so I thought I saw a text.
This morning?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's come out since I looked this morning. So the NFC East, so Dallas, they'll play the North from the NFC and the South from the AFC, and then the AFC North is their 17th game. So that would be who won that division? Cincinnati?
Yeah, they took that one.
Okay, so
yeah.
It'll be Dallas and Cincinnati will play each other somewhere this year. All right.
Oh, that'll be fun in our household.
Exactly. So just looking at Dallas's schedule, for instance. Obviously, they'll host the three division teams, New York, Philly, and the football team. Their other home games, the Bears, the Bengals, Detroit, Houston, Indy, and Tampa. They go to the three division teams. They also go to the Packers, to the Jags, to the Rams, to the Vikings, and to the Titans.
Okay.
So, let me give you the Rams. Did you find that yet?
Oh, yeah. It is the Kansas City's visiting Tampa Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
Another big game, but yeah, that was what I was looking at.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the Rams' home schedule, and I want you to pick who they're going to play on Thursday. the opening game of the season. So they had their three division opponents, Arizona, San Francisco, and Seattle. The other five home games, Atlanta, Bills, Carolina, Dallas, Denver, and the Raiders. Who do you think they'll open with?
Bills.
Let's think about this. I think there's only two choices. Because they're not going to have a division game first, right? There's no way they're going to open in the division.
No.
I don't think. So then when you look at the other marquee games on their schedule, it's clearly Bills, Dallas. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Would they play an intra-conference game first? I think you're right. I think they will. But there's also that allure of Dallas.
I got another reason for Bills, but go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're asking first home game?
First game of the year. I mean, the Thursday night opener.
They're going to drop the banner, hand out rings, all that stuff, right? Well, who went to the Bills?
Von Miller.
Yeah, see what I'm saying?
That's a good point. He'll be there. Come get your ring, Von.
And just, I think, just something to point
and
out.
And, of course, there's going to be the, could this be the preview? This could be the first game of the year and the last game of the
sure.
year. The preview of the Super Bowl. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's different.
It'll be bigger than a USC spring game. It'll be huge.
You know, is what Dallas started the season in Tampa last year?
Yeah.
On that Thursday night?
Yeah.
The opener?
Lost close one, yeah. It was a Thursday night.
Yeah, correct. It was the first game of the year, I'm pretty sure.
Usually, the Super Bowl champs are starting on Thursday nights.
Yeah, at home.
At home. Yeah, it's the Rams. I could see it being the Bills. I don't know if they want to put Dallas on that spotlight again. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, anyways, Dallas was the opponent last year for the defending champs. So I could see, that's why I keep going back to Bills. Because the quality matchup is there, the Von Miller thing. You know, you don't – a Rams versus, say, an Atlanta game
does nothing for me.
And then, of course, the
– Unless they play a division game.
A division game. Yeah, maybe. I mean
– Cardinals,
Rams could be a lot of fun, a lot of fireworks, both figuratively and literally.
You know, I guess Vegas Rams.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think Bills, man. Bills,
I think it's Bills.
I sit down, have the popcorn ready for that game.
Right? I think it's Bills as well. I really do.
Want viewers, that's your game.
Well, or Dallas, because Dallas is going to pull a giant number.
But again, for reasons I said, it's like, oh, I could see people go, what? You picked Dallas. They put Dallas there last mm-hmm. year in that game.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm going.
So Cowboys probably Sunday night?
Yeah.
I got your opponent.
Let's hear it.
Hosting Bucks. Would they go there? Would they go there the first weekend? You know, there's Cincinnati. That's another intra conference. You know, maybe they want to wait that Bucks game a little bit later in the season. Or Colts, the new look Colts with Matt Ryan. Or maybe they just play a normal O.
Get a.
Or Packers. You could see Dallas and Green Bay that first weekend.
I thought that was in
or had
Green
they already
Bay.
Announced
it's
it?
It's in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's at
and
Green
it
Bay.
Has, it has it's actually November 13th.
Okay, so it's later. They've already told us when that one
they've
is.
They've already released that one. Yeah, I bet you. Okay, we had the defending Super Bowl champs, and I bet you we get the runner-ups, yeah, on the spotlight on Sunday night.
Yeah, maybe so.
Cincinnati
at Dallas.
Yeah.
Who else Cincinnati got? Let's see what their home schedule looks like. Ooh, Chiefs. I think they've already said when that game is, though.
I can tell you.
Anyhow.
I can tell you if they have or have not.
I don't have that pulled up here.
The Cincinnati games announced. Let's see. There have been none announced for Cincinnati, according to this. Same website that told me that Green Bay, Dallas was announced. But their home games are Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Miami, Atlanta, Carolina. and Kansas City.
Yeah, so you could see that rematch maybe for them. Maybe that's the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
The international games, Broncos and Jags in Wembley. That'll be October 30th. You got Giants Pack in London at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, October 9th. Estadio Azteca, which is down in Mexico City. That's 49ers Cardinals, the 21st of November. Bucks Seahawks in Allianz Arena. That's where Bayern Munich plays in Germany.
Heard they're going to Germany this year.
The 13th, that's November 13th, Buccaneers and Seahawks. And then also Vikings Saints, October 2nd. That one will be at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So two at Hotspur, one at Wembley, one in Mexico City, one in Munich, Germany. So the fans of Munich will see TB12.
That'll be huge. That country will shut down for that game. That'd be huge.
Just off the top of your head from last year.
Well, they start those games like our time, like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool to wake up to on a Sunday.
Yeah, you end up, I mean, if allowed, you could watch football from like, 7 or 8 a.m. to 11 at night on a certain Sundays.
If you're clever, you find a perfect spot in the church pew to prop up your phone.
Well, depending on who plays.
And then when you're bowing, you just peek one eye open and look at the screen.
The one good thing, I'm not condoning.
I'm not advocating
I'm
that.
Not I'm condoning not condoning this behavior.
I feel really bad saying
I'm not condoning this behavior. The one good thing about being a Cowboys fan, which is kind of surprising, they don't send them on some of these, but it sure does, you know, they don't go.
A few years ago, they went to London against the Jaguars.
Yeah, just not very often.
Not very often.
Jaguars there
America's
every year.
America's team. They're not world's team.
That's right. Jaguars there every year. There's a reason for it. Nobody's showing up at Jacksonville to watch them. Strength of schedule. So just thinking about, okay, who were the good divisions? Who were the good teams last year? Just give me a guess at who one division has three of the top five toughest schedules going into the year with what they've got this year. Do you know where that which division that would be?
I'd naturally float to NFC West.
NFC West is 100% correct.
That's the easiest question you've asked me all year.
100% correct. Now, who has the toughest schedule?
Team? What team has the toughest schedule? Let's go with the Cardinals.
Cardinals are number two.
Chargers.
Chargers aren't in the NFC.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was... It's not the Rams, is it?
It is the Rams.
Is it the Rams?
By quite a margin. Their opponent's strength of opponent's win loss from last year, a 567 winning percentage. That's pretty high.
Yeah.
Cardinals second at 543, and then the 49ers from the West tied fifth at 533. Interestingly enough, the runners up, Super Bowl losers, are third, the Bengals. I think that shows you. If we looked at this last year, now they always play in the AFC North, which is a tough division normally with teams with winning records, right? The year before they had two or three playoff teams. I know they had Pittsburgh and Cleveland because they played each other. Can't remember if the Ravens made the playoffs 2 years ago or not. They didn't last year because they had everybody hurt. I think they did. Anyway, so the Bengals wouldn't have been at the very bottom of this, but it does show you with them having the third toughest schedule, how much difference a fourth place schedule is than a first.
Yeah.
Instead of playing Jacksonville, you get to play Tennessee or whatever it is, and depending on what division that you play those intra-conference games against. Tampa Bay is fourth at 535. Now, who do you think has the worst schedules?
Worst meaning easiest?
Yes.
Let's go with Jacksonville.
Nope.
No.
What division?
Don't tell me. Okay, go ahead.
Think about what division was lambasted all year long last year as being terrible, even though it ended up with two playoff teams.
Is it NFC North?
NFC is right, not North.
I meant South.
Nope.
Well, you got then
East.
Oh, the East. Oh, right. Okay.
You know, it got out to the horrible start outside of Dallas.
Yeah.
And then Philly won, what, five in a row, I think, to get into the playoffs.
Yeah.
The worst four, or the easiest four schedules in the entire NFL all come out of the NFC East.
Huh.
Giants 29th, Eagles 30th, Cowboys and Washington tied for the easiest schedule at tied 31st.
That's no good. That's no good because if you can't win with that schedule or those schedules, someone's in trouble.
Mike McCarthy?
Yeah. I mean, just name your head coach. If you can't win with those easy schedules, if there's some reason, so that just sets you up for failure at the end of the year. If you don't get in the playoffs with a schedule like that, that seat's officially hot. And old Jerry Jones ain't getting any younger, too. So, yeah. Got to take care of business when the NFL hands you a schedule like that.
That's correct. Got to be able to – and just it shows that the division wasn't very good last year because six of your 17 games or over a third of your games are against those teams.
Right.
That didn't have very good schedule – or didn't have very good records. We'll know it all tonight. It's going to be fun. So your final prediction, you're going Rams Bills for the opening game Thursday.
Yeah,
I think I will too.
Oh yeah,
I think I'm right there with you. Rams Bills.
Bills got better. Did the Rams? Are the Rams still?
They brought most back. That offense, Allen Robinson from Chicago, receiver to replace OBJ. Somebody else. God, they're going to be loaded. Matthew Stafford. You're not in Detroit anymore, buddy, and that's a good thing. I got to talk about what happened yesterday. The match.
Oh, I totally forgot. Yeah, what happened?
The match, Elk City version, seemed like a pretty dominant win for the old guys. Or, well, whoa. Older guys. There wasn't anybody
Careful.
Young. There wasn't anybody young there. So it's not like there was young guys. There were just less old guys. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Middle age?
Yeah.
You say middle age? Is that
just
safe?
Just not as old.
There were guys there.
You had old dudes and not as old dudes, but still old.
Some guys with gray hair, some guys with more gray hair.
Yeah. It was salt versus salt and a sprinkle of pepper. How about that?
Okay.
but Rick Rex, the oldest one, over 80 years old, and Mike Wilson beat Quint and Double D 3-2.
Oh, that sounded like it was fun.
Yeah, it did sound like it was fun. Wasn't much of a match.
Did you go out,
no,
peek your head out there?
I didn't have time to. I was trying to catch up everything to be able to get everything ready
for
today. Did
you get some, like I was the last couple weeks, get some video updates?
I saw some pictures. Saw pictures of it. Just
we know. Might have had a following on Paragon or Big Elk TV.
Yeah, somebody asked if we could do it, and I said, I'm afraid they'll kick us off the airwaves if we do. It might be the end. We're trying to cover a state baseball
I'm not
tournament
sure if
here.
FCC covers that or
yeah,
not.
I don't know. I didn't want to find out. Just in
sorry,
case.
No baseball today because we covered old guys cursing at each other.
Oh, man.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So, Mike and Rick knocked off Double D and Q.
Can we say if there was any wagers made? Probably not.
I don't know the answer to that. I will effort that this weekend and be able to. Obviously, Mike's not listening as he just called my phone. Or maybe he thought he could talk through there. I don't know.
He couldn't dial fast enough.
Oh, heavens. Good stuff. Last night in the NBA, the Bucks and Celtics was another fantastic game. It has been the one series that has pretty well delivered consistently game in, game out. They had the one blowout in game two that Boston was able to win. But after that, I mean, those games have come down to the wire. Last night, Bobby Portis with an offensive rebound putback. I think that's the story of that game for me, is the fact that the Celtics could not keep Milwaukee off the offensive glass. 17 offensive rebounds that led to 20 second-chance points for the Bucks. And in a three-point win, you know, those things are so critical. And the Bucks made the plays down the stretch. Giannis was awesome. 40 points, 11 rebounds, 16 of 27 shooting. Jason Tatum scored 34, but it took him 29 shots to do it. Not quite as an efficient night. And you know, as I mentioned, the Bucks with 17 offensive rebounds that led to 20 second chance points. And they squeaked by 110-107. So now Milwaukee with a chance to close it out back at home in Game 6 coming up on, what, Friday night. Just like I said yesterday, the series has been so close. Home court, that's the second time that Milwaukee's won in Boston. I'll say this. I don't think it's a guarantee by any stretch that Milwaukee goes ahead and closes this thing out, but they better, because good luck winning a Game 7 in Boston.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they need to take care of home court and just close this thing out and be done with it. But, man, as a neutral,
yeah, you
fan,
want seven,
I
right?
Want seven, this, because this series is turned into a very, very fun matchup.
In the other game, Memphis just blew away Golden State, 134-95.
How about that,
man? They got outscored 28-15 in the fourth quarter. This could have been a historic loss.
Yeah,
you know, they win by 40.
How did they
39.
Hold the Warriors to just 17 third quarter points?
Yeah, I mean
That's a compliment. I'm not questioning their ability. It's awesome. I mean, to do it shorthanded to boot. So there's still life there.
I mean, they're up 52 at the end of the third quarter.
That's awesome.
52.
It's awesome. How great would it be to see the Warriors lose a 3-1 lead?
Yeah, it was pretty sweet in 2016 when they did it to Cleveland after coming back to beat Oklahoma City. You know, you made the point yesterday, and I kind of was on the other side, but I think you're exactly right. And in games where when it started going south, the Warriors just said, okay, see ya. We'll see you back Friday on our home floor. You know, they weren't going to overextend themselves when they knew they had that game in their back pocket in Game 6 at home. So, you know, heck, they were – you know, seen Draymond and Steph dancing to the Memphis playoff song at one point during a timeout, because they knew it was, you know, at halftime, you know, this game's over. What's the point? We're down 27 at half. We've got game 6 at home. All right. And you look at the minutes played, Draymond 22, Steph and Clay 25. So, you know, you're barely playing half of the game at that point. They'll just regroup and then try to avoid having to go back to Memphis for a Game 7 out of these series. So everybody's 3-2 one way or the other. We're going to get four Game 6s. How many Game 7s do you think we'll get?
Well, okay, the 3-2, we got Dallas and Phoenix. And that game is Game 6.
Back at Dallas.
In Dallas. And so is
Miami-Philly.
Miami-Philly. And that's in Philly.
That's back at Philly.
I think we get at least two. Yeah.
Okay, so
I think Philly wins, and I think the Bucks. I think Celtics go in and win that one. Yeah.
So the two. Eastern
I mean, I'm
Conference,
narrowing it down right there.
Yeah, the two Eastern Conference goes seven.
Yeah,
the West ends.
I think the West is done. Yeah, I think Phoenix and Golden State take care of it.
I think we're gonna get one.
Just one.
Yep.
Which one?
I think Boston beats Milwaukee.
Yeah. Yeah. That one's a clearer picture than the others.
Phoenix, this is a game, to me, Phoenix on the road, Miami on the road. These are games that the really good teams win. They go in somewhere and they say, no, we're not going to have to, as much as we have the advantage having home court for game seven, no.
Yeah.
We're not playing that game. Watch this. So I think both of the road teams win tonight and end those series in six. And then I just – Boston-Milwaukee has been so good and so tough and physical. It feels like that one's destined for seven, and then we'll see who wins.
Yeah.
Even though Boston has to travel to Milwaukee to do it, they've already won there once in the series. That's not, you know, it's the one that, you know, the other ones, those two tonight, the home team's 10-0.
Oh, well.
In Miami, Phoenix, and
I failed to realize that.
Miami, Philly, and Phoenix, and Dallas. The road team hasn't won yet. Milwaukee, Boston, nobody's won two in a row, and the road team has won three times in five games. So by that metric, it's Boston's turn to win game six on Milwaukee's home floor. And then the other one, you know, Memphis and Golden State, each of them have Golden State won in Memphis to wrestle the home court back, and that's why they got that game six at home. So I'm looking forward to Golden State Phoenix. I hope it's that. I think that could be so much fun with those two teams playing. And then, you know, Bucks Heat, Boston Heat, I don't care. And even Philly, you know, if they find a way, I think that'd be fun too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't care who it is. More game sevens, the better.
What about hockey?
Even better.
What happened in hockey last night?
Oh, I don't know. It's the first night in a couple I haven't watched it.
Yeah, I was mowing. Got a bunch of game sixes tonight. Carolina, Boston, Toronto, Tampa. Can Toronto do it? Can they knock out the champs?
Ooh, that'd be tough.
Toronto has a history of not doing well in these situations. And then we'll have game sixes tomorrow. Pittsburgh hosting the Rangers, Washington hosting Florida, and Dallas hosting Calgary. All right. Big Elk Baseball, 1:30. You're headed. We got to get you out of here.
Yep, got to go.
Big Elk's Verdigris, 1:30. Big Elk TV, Jared and Hunter will be there on the call. See if the Elks can win their first state tournament game since 2001, I believe. Or maybe they won in 2004. I think they just won in 2001, maybe. Can't remember. I know they're going to play for the first time since 2004. And it'll be on Big Elk TV, 1:30 this afternoon. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.